Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Well, the chief economist at USDA this week said the price of corn will need to top $3.10 a bushel to attract enough acres to make next year's ethanol demand, but it's harvest season and cash prices are a dollar below that today. We try to find out how soon a rally can take place today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt. Our panelists today are Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Thursday of this week, our cash grain analyst made an interesting comment, so I'd like all of you to consider this question. Corn prices rallied in nickel that day, but it was said to be done in the E-trade, not the open outcry pit. So, on the floor, the traders did not know who was buying. Is there anything fundamentally wrong with that situation? Greg Johnson.
I don't think so. I think we're heading that way anyway. The day session has some side-by-side trading going on already, and I think that's the wave of the future. So I think if we're not okay with that, we need to get used to it.
And Mike Georgie?
Well, no, I don't think there's a thing wrong with it. I think they had heard going late into the session that somebody was buying some 310, 320 D's calls real cheap, and that got the upside going. Some stops were hit, and I think it's a normal trade. When your stops get hit, you're going to go higher.
And Kurt Kimmel.
Well, we're just going to expect to see some extreme volatility. The players are going to be known at the end of the day. I believe J.P. Morgan was the name on the big option trade when it's all said and done. But that's what you want as a trader and as a producer. You want big moves up and down, so it gives you the advantage to sell high and buy low.
In Chicago this week, corn futures September contract moved to a high of $2.34. Their low at $2.24.5 for the week. The September change up a penny and three quarters at $2.31.75 from last Friday's settlement price. December corn futures $2.46 were up a quarter week over week. Now, USDA chief economist Keith Collins, speaking before the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, took up the price of corn. That committee is involved with the renewable fuel standard and consequently ethanol. Collins told them the price of corn has to reach $3.10 to $3.20 cash in order to attract 5.5 million acres to feed the ethanol industry. Two questions. Will that rally happen? And if so, does the board follow the cash market or the other way around?
Well, we're fixing to find out, and that's a very good observation because we've talked about $3, $3.20 futures buying acres. Well, that's not going to do it. You look at Central Illinois cash price right now at $2.15. When guys start looking at that, they're not real encouraged. There's going to be a few acres come out with that optimism that we can get there, but you're right. We're going to have cash corn closer to $3 to gain more acres, and we're going to have to buy a lot of acres here in the East because when I visit with guys in the West, they're going to put wheat under irrigation. I would not be surprised to lose 1 million acres of corn in the West.
I agree with Mr. Collins. We need to get corn over $3. And as Kurt said, it's going to be harder to do that than just snapping your fingers and getting an extra 4 to 5 million acres of corn for a lot of reasons. The wheat rally has convinced some people to plant wheat. The poor crop in the Dakotas may convince some people. The poor cash prices right now may convince some people not to get too excited about corn. Some people are older and are going to stick to the rotations, and they're not going to buy the extra equipment that it takes to plant more corn because you're going to be harvesting more bushels if you plant more corn. So for a lot of reasons, we're going to have to get this corn market up sometime between now and planting time in order to get those extra acres.
Well, you're a buyer at the Andersons. Can't you just do that? I'm sorry, I couldn't. I really couldn't help myself. Okay, USDA September crop production report due out Tuesday at 7:30 Central. The average trade guess for the corn is 152.5 bushels to the acre on a total harvest of about 11 billion bushels. USDA currently at a 10.976. Soybean guess at 3.09 billion bushels on a 41.87 bushel to the acre average. USDA stands at 2.928. Ending stocks for the coming marketing year are pegged by the trade at 1.204 billion bushels for corn, 563 million for the soybeans. USDA's current number is close to that, but the bean carryover is 113 million bushels shy. What do you expect Tuesday morning?
Well, Allendale expects the corn number to be lower and the bean number to be higher. We're looking at more of a 10.88 number on the corn and a 3.10 on the beans. So, you know, we could see a rally in the corn because I think any scare of less numbers in the corn is going to run the price higher.
Your assessment for Tuesday morning?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised we're too far off the average trade estimates, but when it's all said and done, I'd say probably both is a little bit lower. We saw quite a bit of shrinking in the tips, and the test weight's still a question, but I don't know if corn is up to the expectations. And beans, they look good, but, man, they're tall. Anytime we've had tall beans, it's been awful hard to pump out big yields.
And by the way, you can see all those numbers on our website at WILLAG.org. They'll be updated not long after the 7:30 release Tuesday morning. And if you'd prefer to get those numbers by email, we'll do that, too. Just sign up for the Ag e-letter at WILLAG.org. It's easy. Just hit subscribe. LDP, there's one for soybeans this week, and in Iowa, corn farmers could have picked up a nickel this week if they really wanted it. Tell me about the cash market ebb and flow from the recent bottom and where you expect it will go prior to the time 50% harvest is marked this September.
Well, we've seen basis improve about a dime over the last 2 to 3 weeks, and I think the reason for that is twofold. We have had a 50-cent break in futures prices mid-July. December corn was 285. It went all the way down to 233 before it's rebounded up to about 247, 248 recently. Once we got down into the 230s, we did have an LDP, and that sends a signal to farmers that there is no longer any incentive to sell corn below loan rate levels unless you're just absolutely convinced it's going to keep going lower. The last thing a farmer wants to do is sell corn below loan, only to have it go up and then not get an LDP and be stuck with a poor price. If he doesn't sell and he's wrong and the market goes lower, at least he gets compensated with the bigger LDP. So the farmer movement basically ground to a halt when we dropped 50 cents. That's part of it. And then the other part is the yields that we're hearing so far that's from southern Illinois between Springfield and St. Louis have been on the disappointing side, 140 to 150, and it was 190 last year. I tell people keep in mind that if they've been harvesting already, that means that corn probably burned up a month ago already. So I think we're hearing the worst yields now. I think we'll start to hear better yields as we get into the better areas where we've received more rain. So I think that's the reason why we've seen basis levels improve. Now, what does that mean for LDP? I think we'll still see the typical harvest drop. It won't be as big because people will be looking ahead to next year with that $3 corn talk. But we will see 10, 15 cent LDP this fall.
Is that wide enough, 10, 15 cents, or will we get bigger than that, do you think?
Oh, I think there's a possibility to get bigger. I know we're not going to be in that 50 cent range like we were last year, but I think in some parts of the country you could see 25, 30 cents.
Soybeans now. November bean futures made a new contract low this week at 543 and a quarter. That hasn't happened since they came on board. Is there more pressure yet to come in the bean market?
Well, I think you got to look at two different markets. You got to look at a cash market and a futures market. But definitely speaking about the futures market, the 545 low was the 2005 November low. And so I think we're going to play with that for a while. But close below there would be subject to move on down to this 525 area. As far as the cash market goes, we're probably going to stay weak until we get in October.
And what do you do about soybean in the LDP? Do you take it earlier or later?
Well, it depends on each individual situation, but I'm one to be taking it as you can there, especially if it gets out in this 40, 50 cent area.
Yeah, and then, you know, let's be honest, a large portion of the crop, corn and beans both, is sold across the scale at harvest. The question today really is there anything a producer should do to protect that sale? And if so, what is it?
Well, I mean, what we've done is to protect LDP right now is we've sold some December, like 230 calls at 10 cents, which gives you locks you in on a 10 cent LDP. And if it goes lower, your LDP helps pay for the call. But we've been selling some calls to protect our LDP in case we do get a rally.
I think the farmers have done a very good job of selling corn ahead. We've had opportunities when that D's corn was in the 280s. They've sold corn. So if they can get a 10, 15, 20 cent LDP, whatever it is, I'd say that's, you know, just take it. I mean, they don't have to protect those sales because they're already made. For beans, I don't get the sense that farmers have done as good a job selling beans ahead like they did corn. We didn't get the big rally this summer. Beans had a very narrow range, and they could have sold over $6, but they were waiting for $7, and so $6 didn't seem very attractive, and now they're $5.50 on the board. So when it comes to LDP, if you can get a 40-cent LDP on beans, I think that's good. You know, there you can probably afford to redeem and dream. But if you only take a 10 or a 15-cent LDP, there's still downside risk on beans.
Speaking of the beans, the September contract this week had a high of 549, a low at 531 and a half. The beans settled 537, down a penny and a half in the September. The November contract at $5.45, off 3.5 cents from a week ago's final settlement price for the day. September oats at $1.88 were up 4.25 for the week. Now the wheat pit. September futures there at 410 on the high, the low at 397 and a half. Their settlement price at $4 even. They were off a penny and a quarter this week. July futures at 447 and a quarter were down 3.75. Now that July wheat futures price was just 30 cents off their recent 482 high. If you look back at the monthly lead option chart, this is the monthly lead option chart. These are historic levels going all the way back to April 1st of 1997. And even then, the high price was only $4.49. or just about what next year's July contract played out in this week's trade. So how urgent is it in your mind that producers make a wheat sale, and do they do that in the cash or the futures market?
Well, it just depends if the elevator is going to work with you on the cash side. You know, we heard as wide as a dollar basis there back right after harvest, so if the elevator is willing to work with you, you could definitely go that way. But we're more inclined to hedge, do a hedge arrive, and get something booked, because when you look at the big picture here, we're going to have buco acres of wheat here in the U.S. I know we look at tight world stocks, tight world situations, so we got two different markets. So as a producer, I think you got to use strength here in the U.S. to get hedged up.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Chris Hurt, Purdue University Extension Ag Economist from the West Lafayette campus.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. September 1st marks the start of climatological fall, and the weather has been very fall-like, to say the least, across Illinois. Temperatures this first full week of September range from 2 degrees below normal in northern Illinois to 6 degrees below normal in southern Illinois. The weather did begin to warm up about midweek as an upper-level low finally pulled out of the Midwest. While afternoon temperatures made it back into the 80s, dew points remained in the very comfortable 50s. Heavy precipitation fell in northern Illinois early in the week, associated with the upper-level low. The southeast side of Rockford received heavy rain that left 4 to 5 feet of water over roads in the area. Elsewhere in Illinois, rainfall was more scattered, but slow-moving to stationary storms resulted in some rainfall amounts in excess of 2 inches. In parts of central Illinois, the rain also caused minor flooding of roads. It appears the pattern of cooler-than-normal weather will continue through next week. A cold front will push into Illinois this weekend and will be accompanied by showers and thunderstorms Sunday into Tuesday. The middle of the week will be dry, but more showers and thunderstorms are possible by Thursday and into next weekend as warmer air begins to return to Illinois. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILL AM 580. Our panelists today are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons out of Champaign, Illinois. Our guest is Chris Hurt, Extension Ag Economist from Purdue University. He joins us from his office on the Purdue campus. Good afternoon to you, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, always a pleasure to be with you, Todd.
Let me go through the livestock numbers, and then I'd like your assessment of what's been happening in both the beef cattle and the hog industries. Taking a look at the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle this week, an October high of 94.80, a low at 92.25. The October live cattle finished at 92.30. They were off $1.05. And the September feeder cattle at 118.57 and a half were up 202 and a half for the week. October lean hog, $68.40 on the high. The low at 66.15. October lean hog settled at $66.50, and they were unchanged. Your assessment of livestock at this time, Chris?
Well, I think we are asking the question if futures have gotten ahead of themselves. This is particularly true on the cattle. I think we really came out of the July 27th announcement that Japan was going to open export markets with a lot of enthusiasm. The question now is, has that been too much enthusiasm? When we look at the current prices, we're nearly 10% above a year ago prices right now on live cattle, but it turns out our supplies are actually 4% higher. So I think the ultimate test is going to be just how much demand are we going to pick up in the export market as we open the Japanese market? Can we get that South Korean market opened? And really, are these prices really just too high for what we really can handle? Demand may not be quite as strong as what some have thought here this week.
And Chris, a bit of a political hot potato this week in the House of Representatives. They voted to ban slaughter for horse meat. Is there any economic fallout of that potentially for the rest of the livestock sector?
Well, I don't think so. I think probably it's a relatively minor amount. Does not have a big impact in terms of what we're going to be able to measure out there, I think, at least on the poultry, pork, or beef side.
Any political fallout?
Well, I'm sure there is, but I'm not sure which direction.
Okay. Tell me about the grain markets from your perspective.
Well, obviously, I think we're looking at the last of the cheap grain. You had a lot of discussion there with your very capable panel. From the livestock people side, we're saying this is the last of the cheap grain you're going to see, particularly the cheap corn. We are looking at just a really huge supply problem over here in the state of Indiana. We have about 5% more grain to deal with this year than we had last year, and consequently, basis levels certainly reflect that. In visiting with elevator people here today, or excuse me, this week, I should say, they've been pretty creative, finding some more storage, building some more space, talking about building those piles a little bit higher. So we're going to be able to handle it, but this is actually our third year in a row to have a record amount of grain to handle. So I think that's sort of the theme, find a place to get it tucked away very hard with futures and options to earn a lot of return versus storage. Storage with this basis play we're going to have. We've got four new ethanol plants in production, so we're looking at going from the 40-45 under kind of basis at harvest time under the Dease to something that could be as strong as option price by next June in a central Indiana where we have a lot of those ethanol plants going on. So tremendous futures opportunity, near full carry, as well as what looks like to be a very strong basis appreciation. Storage is the name of the game.
Well, Chris, how much longer do you think we got until we need to lock in basis here as a buyer then?
Well, as a buyer, I think you just try to own cash as much as you can. And again, this is what we're telling the livestock people. You really can't do this by trying to own futures, although, of course, futures could go up also. But this big gain already, if you're out to next summer trying to cover corn, you got to pay the piper quite a lot from the livestock side. So own basis, own cash as much as you can right now.
With the delivery so large against the September contract, meaning there's a heck of a lot of corn out there that needs to be moved, and do you see that the cash price is going to move up before we get 50 to 70% harvested on corn, or are we going to see a downslide up until that point?
Yeah, I don't think we have much prospect at this point of seeing major increases on the cash side. The concern among the industry is, can we deal with this crop? I think it is without the hurricane-related problems we had a year ago. We're looking back to that and saying this basis is going to be extreme this year. We have a little bit more to handle this year. There's that possibility the basis is very wide, not going to be hardly anything sold. at harvest time, and we should say at least limited sales at harvest time, and that certainly could bring us back better basis and better cash going right into that first 25-30% of harvest. On the other hand, we just don't know how big the bushel numbers are going to be till they start rolling in. And so I think it really, have to say, it is kind of that late October, early November bottoming of the corn basis, and then we can start to get recovery.
Hey Chris, there was a wide divergence this summer in wheat between futures prices and cash prices. Is there any correlation coming up with the soybeans and the corn this fall, or is wheat just an anomaly and it's out there on its own?
Well, I sure hope it's an anomaly. When we look at these very wide basis levels, I think that we've seen, and wider than normal on corn and soybeans, much of that is explainable by the additional transportation costs. We've had $3 diesel, not there right now, but through the summer, $3 diesel versus, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, $1.50, $1.70 diesel. So, and the second thing that helps explain that is the very large supplies that we've been carrying relative to all of our storage that's out there. But most of it's the transportation cost, a little bit higher interest rates. So I think what we're going to see on corn and beans is not a failure of the convergence to occur, as we saw, have seen in the wheat, just inability of those wheat terminals to take delivery. And that's a serious problem, I think, for the Chicago Board of Trade that they really do want to look into. We have more elevator capacity that can take delivery on the Indiana-Illinois River system, and consequently, I don't think we're going to have those same problems for corn and beans, and we certainly hope not.
You've told us to store corn. What's your assessment of the beans?
Well, I think the returns to storage don't look quite as strong on the soybeans, but we're still saying that's the name of the game there also. So we're pushing prices probably. We're saying down as low as 475 beans. It's even an embarrassment to talk that low on beans with the cost. But that certainly could be picking up the LDP at harvest. And, again, we don't think there's going to be much sold, so that gives us a strong cash rally potential going into the December time period, which for tax management, a good time to sell. On the other hand, then, going on into the spring, we think we're going to get back in the, say, 560, 575 range. And by the time we roll around to next harvest, we need to be talking more around $6 a bushel or better rather than this $5 that we're looking at this harvest.
What did you make of Keith Collins' comments this week?
I thought those numbers were a little bit on the high side. We've already run projected budgets for 2007. Our numbers right now say we're going to get a little moderation in corn cost of production. Not a lot, but about 1% lower cost of production on corn for 2007. We're up 7% on production costs for soybeans next year. I don't know if they have that figured in. Then taking the 2007 crop prices, right now on average quality Illinois, Indiana land, we're looking at about a $45 to $50 premium for corn. The market's already bidding that. I think that buys a lot of corn. What we're saying is we can buy the corn with the current price relationships of corn and soybeans up to where farmers are used to rotating. How much corn can they plant? Our numbers are saying we've got to go beyond our comfort level, beyond what farmers have ever planted on corn, when I say ever in the last 15 years. And to do that, that's lots of corn on some of those farms, and the agronomists want to take a 10% yield penalty.
Well, Chris,
that takes a lot higher price of corn.
Well, Chris, when you do those numbers, are you using futures numbers or projected cash numbers?
We're using futures numbers and kicking the basis level on corn up about a dime from what we traditionally have seen because of the ethanol demand.
So that would put cash price at what, about 260?
We're around 20 under the DEIS 07.
Oh, 280.
On corn, excuse me, and soybeans 30 under, kind of a central Illinois, central Indiana. So tonight that would be about 580 on the soybeans.
What's your feeling earlier this year? Everybody was wondering why the bean price was staying higher, and they said this is the first time ever that they correlated being in corn price with the energy price as far as crude oil and gasoline. With crude going down and gas getting cheaper, do you have any feeling on what that's going to, how it's going to affect the bean and corn price?
Well, again, I think you do have to say that the fundamentals have been a bit difficult to figure out on the soybeans, given the huge inventories worldwide and U.S. Most of us would have thought we would have seen somewhat lower prices, but again, the fund interest in owning soybeans as a commodity that really was just very cheap. And I think, as you point out, the energy side of that has been another reason to own soybeans. I think we're seeing a little more of the true colors of soybeans this fall in terms of the fundamentals. But again, we're going to have a commodity that's reasonably highly speculated. The funds are going to be very interested in. And I think the world basically is going to say $5 beans is an extremely cheap level. And so we'll add over time, the 20, 30, 40 cent higher prices just for that speculation that the possibility that beans could really take off at some time, although I think most of us realize that's probably the 07, 08 marketing year before we can really see beans take off to the upside as we clean up some of our world surplus.
You talked about premium per acre just a few moments ago. What kind of numbers are we looking at in income for Indiana farmers this year?
The income numbers we're looking at are actually going to come out much better than we thought even a month ago. We're looking at about a 10 to 15% reduction in income this year. Again, that's coming from these much higher production costs. And when you push corn prices up, we're going to get considerably less total government dollars in the corn program. So overall, we're saying income is going to be very close to average for 2006. And then the prospects for 07, particularly the 07 crop, whether we talk about Keith Collins's comment on corn above $3 on the cash side, or whether we look at futures, those both begin to suggest much stronger returns on the crops for 2007.
Thanks much, Chris, for joining us. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you, Dad.
Chris Hurt of Purdue University. He's an Extension Ag Economist there in Indiana. Now, time for a final word from our panelist, and we'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
Yeah, I like the idea of owning cash corn. I hate to give up ownership here this fall, but I think cash corn is the place to be over the next 6 months.
And Mike Georgie?
Well, I think I agree. You want to own cash corn, and I definitely think you want to protect some of the downside in beans that is possible even now.
If we can get a final word from you, too, Greg Johnson.
Well, I agree with Chris that storage is the name of the game. And all the talk about $3-plus corn next year from people like Keith Collins is going to encourage people to hold on to corn. And without a big LDP, people will need money for cash flow. That may mean a few more bean sales in the fall to generate cash flow.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Our many thanks to Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Bahamut, Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Commodities, and Greg Johnson of The Andersons. Remember, next through Tuesday morning, USDA will release the September crop production and WASDE numbers. You'll find them on our website at willag.org. You have a great weekend.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.